Amen.
Okay, my topic tonight is we need you now. We need you now. As we start our fast week, I usually start thinking about, okay, so what did I do last fast? What did I write down last fast? I look at my notes, and I try to look at what I'm thinking of now and where I am now. And what the things of God that He needs me to do now, which is usually some of the things He needed me to do last fast. And so, hence, I'm giving myself away. I was a little disobedient because there were some things that He had asked me to do and I did not do. I procrastinated, I put off, and I did not do. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Oh, but this fast week has been a slap in the face for me because He has revealed to me that I needed you to do some things so other people can receive some things. And that really, really, that really got to me. So from this day forward, obedience and having faith is number one. Obedience, number one. And as I think of the fast weeks, to me, as I was meditating and really dwelling on what God wanted me to teach about, He revealed to me that it is a measurement. So each fast week is supposed to take you to another level, another step towards what He wants for you in your life. And that makes sense because we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be going to that next level. We're supposed to be getting to the next step that He needs for us to get to. And so that made a lot of sense to me. And even though there are some things that I progressed in, there's also some areas that I regressed. And that's something that I know I need to work on. And hopefully all of you have progressed and not regressed from the last fast. I realize that I do need to press further into God so He can download some things into me, because when I started really studying out the message that He gave for me, when I tell you, it was like, oh my goodness. And one of my regressions were that I wasn't reading as often as I was before. And so as I started to study and meditate and chew on what He was giving me, it was here, it was there, it was there. And I was like, Lord, what am I supposed to focus on? Because You're just giving me so much, so many different areas, so many different things. And He said, this is what happens when you don't stay in My word. This is all the back stuff. This is all the previous stuff that you were supposed to have already. I'm trying to give to you. I'm trying to download to you. Whew. Oh, it was tough. Because I was literally, Tori will tell you, I was literally up some nights till 12, 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to go to work the next day. Because He was just giving me so many things and so much stuff. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to break what He was giving to me. So I was tired in the morning, though. I was tired going to work. I had to be there at 8 o'clock, but I was tired. So I want to start talking about a specific part in the Bible. When Jesus fed the 5,000, He fed them 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So I'm going to start out with Matthew 14. Let's see. Give everybody a minute to get there. Matthew 14, verse 13 through 21. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And the reason why he departed was because John the Baptist had been killed at that time. He was a prophet, and Herod decided that he needed to be killed because he made a promise to his daughter that she could have any wish that she wanted. And her wish was to have John the Baptist killed because his brother's wife didn't like him. And so he gave his word to his daughter. So he felt like he needed to honor his word, not knowing that this was something that he shouldn't have done. But Jesus heard about it, and so he departed by ship to a desert place. And when people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth, this is verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them something to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but only 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven. So he raised the fish up to heaven, and he said, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So Jesus heard when he, I talked a little bit about when he heard about John the Baptist being killed by Herod. He fled over the Sea of Galilee into a desert place. He left the city, just like he told his disciples to do when they were going into the cities teaching and healing people. And that's in Matthew 10. We want to go to Matthew 10, verse 22 and 23. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the cities, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become." So he told them that they would be hated and persecuted. So he wanted them to leave those places, and he wanted them to go to places where they could heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Jesus still had these things that God needed for him, needed him to do. He still had things that God needed him to do, because he knew the Pharisees were planning and plotting things against him. But Jesus wasn't leaving out of fear, but he was leaving out of faith, knowing that God had some more good works that he needed him to accomplish. As he departed from that place, the multitude of people heard of him leaving, and they followed. They wanted to be wherever Jesus was, because they had heard of all the miracles and the things that he had done. They wanted to be near him. They wanted more of what Jesus had and wanted to know more about what he was doing. Again, it wasn't just a crowd of people, but it was a multitude of people. 5,000, and that's not all including the women and children, so there could have been more. So I asked myself as I was looking at this, why 5,000? Why not 1,500? Why not 3,000? Was there a head count taken? Like, did they walk through the crowd and, you know, count? Yeah. How many people? Did God tell Jesus how many there were? I asked myself this question many times, but the Holy Spirit said that it doesn't really matter how many people. If your Lord and Savior is showing you miracle signs and wonders beyond your understanding, you're not going to worry about how many people there are. You're only going to want to know what he's doing. Think about it. Have you ever been in a crowd of people at an event or concert or something? Have you really thought about, oh, I should take the time to count these people? No, you don't take the time to count or even guess how many hundreds of thousands of people that might be there around you. That's too many people to count. But when Jesus saw how many people there were, he was moved. He was so moved that he knew he needed to heal the sick. He knew that those people needed him more than anything. That's why there were so many of them, because he needed them. And at that time, as I talked about in the scripture, the disciples wanted to send some of those people away, but Jesus said no. He said, let them stay. Jesus knew that everyone's needs needed to be met. And he knew that they wanted to be in his presence. So no matter what, or how hungry or tired, I mean, if you're sitting out there for hours as he walks through the crowd, you know, one man with disciples walking through a crowd and healing people, healing folks, you're going to be tired. You're going to be hungry. And there was even some people out there that doubted him, but they still wanted to be there. Even when we're unsure about something, if God says go, we need to be obedient and go. We need to be obedient and do what God needs us to do. It didn't really talk about the time of day that they were out there in the desert place, or how many hours it took for him to go through the crowd. But we know that during that time, the people needed to eat at some point. For Jesus to have to go through 5,000 people healing them, it was a really long time, many, many hours. Jesus had to have such a drive, such faith to know that he had to minister to all those people. And so at the time, the disciples saw that the people were getting tired and weary and maybe wanted to rest. They suggested to God to send them home to eat. But God asked the disciples, how much food did they have? And they said, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And the disciples looked at that, just like some of us would have thought, looking at that, 5 loaves. We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we have a multitude of people. Some of those people were saying, how in the world? Even I would say, how in the world are we going to do this? Whew. But God knew, Jesus knew, that he could feed that many people. He knew that God could provide. Can we turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So even though we see that there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus knew that there would be more to feed the 5,000. Everything that we see with our eyes is not always going to be what appears to be. Jesus told all the people to sit down and eat. He took the loaves and broke them. He blessed it. Then he had his disciples pass it out. Oh, what a miracle to feed so many with so little. So I want to talk a little bit about the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not only was it a miracle, but it represented something greater than just having enough to eat. The bread and fish was God giving of himself to us, to the people. St. John 6 and 35, if you want to go to it, you can. 6 and 35, St. John 6 and 35. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So when I think about that, it's knowing that no matter what you have, God can give you more. God can provide more. And Jesus knew that. So it didn't matter how many disciples, they could have said, "We got 2. But he knew God would provide more. He provides more than enough. Jesus saw a need, and he knew God would meet that need. In 2 Corinthians, you guys can write that down, 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 15, it talks about God loving a cheerful giver. So he loves when we give. So why wouldn't he want to give to us more in abundance? Our Father gives out of the love that he has for us, and he wants to provide for us. So when talking about the thousands of people that were there that ate that day, the scriptures say that after everyone was fed, there was some left over. There's the overflow. There's the abundance. There's the more than we can ask or think. Because he could have gave them just enough. He knew how many people were there. He could have gave them just enough. But he gave them more of abundance and overflow. Ephesians 3, verse 19 through 20. "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us." So God wants to provide over an abundance for us, exceedingly and above all. So Jesus needed God to show up, and he didn't have any doubt. So the Lord wants us to need him in that way. For us to not have any doubt. For us to know that he loves us enough that he will give us more than we need. He not only provides our spiritual bread, but our physical bread, but our spiritual bread. So I find myself sometimes in that position, thinking about, am I enough? Am I doing enough? But God always says that we are more than enough. So even when we don't think we are, We are more than enough. Through him, we are more than enough. And I know I sometimes doubt that I'm enough, but I know I need to lean on him and ask him for help. So I ask you, do you need him today? Do you need him to be more than enough? Do you need him to provide overabundance? The answer to that should be yes. Now more than ever. I know some of you in here might need healing, to get out of debt, to have that lust taken away. You need forgiveness in your heart, selfishness taken, the greed removed, anger out, depression removed, bitterness, pride, so on and so forth. All the negative that we have. That we need to remember, though, that for every negative, God has a positive. For every negative, God has a positive. He wants us to recognize that when we need him, so he can take that negative away and fill us with the things of him that covers all areas of our life that are lacking. When we don't see the need for him, God can't provide because we're in the way. So he needs us to get out of the way and ask for him to be with us. So our need for God's word is like the food for the 5,000, over in abundance. More than we can ask or think. And as I was reading in those scriptures, another thing that I noticed was when Jesus raised the food to heaven. So I'm like, I've read these scriptures multiple times, read about this story multiple times, and I never really delve into it and thought about, what is God doing? What is he really doing? It's not just a story about him feeding the 5,000. There was more, deeper, something more I needed to get into. Because he could have just held the bread up and blessed it, prayed over it. No, he lifted it up to heaven, looked up to heaven, for it to be blessed. The action of raising up the food to God is a way of surrendering the food to him. Because Jesus knew that our Father was needed at that time to provide a miracle, like so many other miracles, to the multitude. So raising his arms, let's talk about that. The effects of raising our arms to the heavens. We do it in praise and worship to God, in honoring him, to show that we have put him first. So I wanted you guys to stand up for a second, do a little activity real quick. Oh, look. If you can't stand up, you can sit down. I think it still had the same effect. So we're going to do an activity, raising your arms and resting your arms. So resting your arms down by your side, relax. You still have blood flow, but it's subtle. You don't feel much of a change, no reaction. Not much movement. You're not doing an action. You're just resting. Now, raise your arms as if you're praising God, close your eyes and really think about what that feels like. Raising your arms causes a change in your blood flow. Feel the adrenaline, the opening of your heart to pump the blood because it goes against gravity to reach your hands. And your mind being affected by that change because it senses a change. You're doing something at that time for God. That's an action. That's an action. Now you can put your arms down. So I just, Minister Samuel, you can sit down. Minister Samuel talked about it the other night. I was listening to him, and he said that when he was speaking, he was talking about the goodness of God, but he said that he's tired of seeing people just standing there, no action, or sitting there, no action. But when there is action and movement, there's a reaction. So I thought about when your arms are up. I read somewhere it says your upper arms, when they're positioned below your heart, which is the down position, resting position, when they're below your heart level, it increases your blood pressure. But if your upper arms are above your heart, as if to raise at another level above your heart, it decreases your pressure, therefore opening up your heart to have a better blood flow, opening up your heart for the Holy Spirit to flow. There is a blessing in raising your arms and surrendering to God. James 1:22, it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not that just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Doers of the word, raising your arms, creating action through an activity that can elevate you to receive the Holy Spirit. Action. Psalm 63, if y'all want to turn there, you can. Psalm 63, verse 3-4. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I lift up my hands in thy name. Praising God, lifting your hands, praising Him. Psalms 134, 1-3. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift, again I say, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee, O Zion. So the Lord wants us to lift our hands. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to give Him glory. He wants us to give Him honor. He wants us to create action. Have action. I was reading something the other day, and it was talking about raising hands can signify dependency on someone else. As small children, we raised our arms for someone to pick us up. Right? When you're little, you raise your arms, pick me up, pick me up. An action. But as we grew, we no longer looked for someone to physically pick us up, but we raise our arms to be picked up, carried, comforted, and led by God. In all things, we find that we need God in our lives, fulfilling purpose, parenting, family, developing relationships, in our career, developing something new, when we're on a new journey, when we're doing activities, in all other things and aspects of our life. We could rest when we're weary, because Jesus could have rested when he blessed the 5,000. We could be resting, but he didn't. He raised his hands and allowed God to feed us the loaves of bread and fish. His word is abundant and love is everlasting. So I want you guys to listen to a song that I heard the other day, and it touched my heart to want to play it. I've been listening to gospel songs all week, and this one stood out more than any of the other ones. So when you listen to the song, you might want to exercise your praise by raising your arms, reaching up high and stretching up like branches, like trees, to receive what God has for you. Practice putting God first, for his goodness is everlasting. He can feed more than the 5,000. We need God, but he needs us to be in place.
Give me you, everything else can wait. Give me you, I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you, Lord, give me you, Lord, give me you, Lord, give me you.
As you listen,
give me you.
You can raise your hands.
Everything else can wait.
Meditate on the Lord.
Lord, give me you.
Thank you, Lord.
I hope I'm not too late.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. Give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Cause it's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees, crying out to you. It's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees, so give me you. Give me you. Come on, say, give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Oh, Lord, give me you. Come on, sing it again. Say, give me. I hope I'm not too late.
Father.
Everything else must wait.
Give me you,
Lord.
I hope I'm not too late. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Give me you. Thank you, Lord. I hope everybody in here and online is asking God and telling him that he needs, that you need him. Give me you and let everything else wait. We need you. We need you. We need you. Amen.